understanding that. Now, picture the events that Luke wrote about when Jesus healed a woman on the Sabbath. I'm going to read to you from Luke 13, verse 10 to 17. Now he, that is Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over, and could in no way raise herself up. This woman was so distorted, her body was so twisted, she couldn't even lift her head up. She couldn't lift herself. She was totally helpless. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." Woman, you are loosed. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, here's the religious people, answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" Isn't this what the Sabbath is all about? And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. What Jesus did was astounding. Remember, he would have been in the men's court while she was in the woman's court. It's not clear if he called her into the men's court or if he went across into the woman's court. Either way, it was unheard of to do so. He completely ignored the wall of separation between men and women in the temple. Another thing that he did, which was most astounding, is he identified her as a daughter of Abraham. This is the only place in the whole Bible that anyone is identified as a daughter of Abraham. You always hear about sons of Abraham, never daughters of Abraham. Why did Jesus do this? When Jesus did this, he exposed their shame because they treated their woman lower than animals. But Jesus elevated woman. He gave them honor. He lifted them up. Paul is another one. His teachings about woman have been misunderstood, and they have been used to keep woman in silent submission, which actually, in modern terminology, is no different from oppression. And people have done this for centuries. However, Paul shared the same views on woman that Jesus did. He ministered alongside woman for many years, and it was Paul who said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." That's in Galatians 3:28. Paul studied under a well-known Jewish rabbi called Gamaliel, who, although it seems he was never a believer in Jesus, was a bit controversial himself because he did not agree with most Jews concerning women and actually discipled his own daughter in the Torah. He taught his own daughter the Bible. Another one to consider, and we have covered this before, was remember when God cut covenant with Abram and God changed Abram's name. He changed Sarai's name to Sarah at the same time. God doesn't leave the woman out. The woman count as much as the men do. So it's not about gender. And so we have looked at how God blessed Adam, who was male and female, and told them to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it. Now, the next point, point number three, is that a blessing is a prophetic declaration of the son's destiny. A prophetic declaration of the son's destiny. And we've already seen that happen. We saw that Noah said that Canaan would be a servant of servants. And we realized that he was pointing to the fact that Canaan would be lower than his brothers, in that his descendants would lose their land and the descendants of Noah's other sons would possess that land. We have even seen a previous prophecy in Genesis 5. I'm going to read from verse 28. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. Verse 29, and he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. As you look at that, you realize this also would qualify as a blessing, because of the prophetic nature of it. He knew that something about this child was going to cleanse the earth. The earth would be renewed. And that somehow his child Noah would bring rest, because that's what Noah means, would bring rest. He didn't have the whole picture, but he declared prophetically that this is what would happen. And it did. And so now we have seen it with Noah, and we will see it again and again in the Word as we carry on studying. Point number four is, a blessing is a passing on of the baton or baton. It's almost like a relay race. In fact, Paul used the analogy of a race when he spoke about how he's running the race and he's heading for the finish line and he's keeping his focus, he's keeping his eyes on that finish line so that he can get the prize that's ahead of him. And as we look at scripture, we realize that it's almost like we are all running a relay race. And this one passes the baton onto the next one. That one passes the baton onto the next one. And so it goes on over and over again. And the glorious thing about God is that when you become a child of God, he gives you a baton and you run. And it's not about your natural father. And it's not about who's running next to you. It's you and God and the race ahead of you. And this brings us on to point number five. A blessing is linked to your identity or name. Remember, your name always represents your identity, who you are. And the blessing is part of it. It's attached to that name. We're going to see that when we jump ahead back to Jacob now. One of these days we will see Jacob wrestling with the messenger of God, who seems to be the pre-incarnate Christ. that is Jesus manifested here on earth in the flesh, in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Old Testament. And he wrestles with him. And Jacob won't let go. He keeps wrestling. And he wrestles for a blessing. And the blessing he receives is a change of name, a change of identity. And so next week, we are going to take a look at Jacob's story, what happened with him, and the journey he went through. But for now, we're just going to end with one last scripture about Noah, and that is Genesis 9 verse 1 in the New King James Version says, "So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.'" There's two very important points that come up with the scripture. Number one, if you compare that to God's blessing in Genesis 1, when he blessed mankind, when he blessed Adam and Eve, you'll see that God's reinstating them back to the same position that Adam and Eve were in. He's starting again. His plan never changed. He's starting again. And number two, it's a father who blesses his sons. God was reaffirming his fatherhood, his relationship with Noah and his sons. He was reaffirming them as sons of God, because it's a father who blesses his sons. And that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a great day, and God bless you. Bye for now.